Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city.
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. This is Susan Puzio. And I want to welcome you to the Prophetic News radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. And we're also heard on the Rapture Ready Radio Network, which is the network of our sister Jackie Alnor, who's our guest today. And also we have our website, propheticnews.com, our YouTube channel, which is under my name, Susan Puzio, and our book, Seed Faith, Can a Man Bribe God? And you would think probably after all this bribing that people have been doing and all the seed sowing they've been doing and all the tithing that they've been doing, and they probably can't believe that they're unemployed right now. So don't put your hope and your trust in the things of this world or what the false teachers and the false preachers tell you. Put your faith and trust in God, because we need God more than ever in the days that we're living in. And Jackie gave me the scripture, Psalm 46. And Psalm 46 says that God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters therefore roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her. And that right early the heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow, and cutteth the spear in the sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that among the heathen I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Amen. Amen. Hi, Jackie. Amen.
Hi, Susan.
Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Good to be here.
Yeah, the times they are a-changing.
Yeah, continually.
Yeah, right before our very eyes.
Yep, and I love that verse, to be still. Even if the contemplatives use that to try to say we need to meditate with a blank brain, it's actually in context. Shouldn't be all upset and strive and get all worked up, because we know he is the one in control. And yeah, though all these things may happen, it's not getting by him, and we can just settle down and not fret and let him go about what he's going to do, and know that you're in his hands.
Yeah, I guess most people are in the state of shock, where we used to go out, get in our cars and go to the store, and oh, we were happy shopping and enjoying ourselves in our whatever adventures that we were doing, but now you don't even look forward to going out shopping. Who wants? You have to put a mask on, and you're afraid somebody's going to cough on you, or somebody's going to get too close to you, or whatever. It's a whole new world out there.
Yeah, and you know, some people are predicting it's going to go on for another 18 months, and there's all kinds of ideas out there of what could happen, and a lot of fear mongering going on. And, you know, we certainly have to be cautious, but again, we need to be still with all of those fears and just trust God with tomorrow, with today, with every day.
Well, that's it, because we're here. And so somehow we have to get through this, because all of our lives have changed. It's affected everyone, and from the highest to the lowest. So this thing hasn't escaped. Where it came from, who knows? Because I refuse to believe that some guy in a lab caught it from a bat and then he gave it to his girlfriend. And the two people infected the whole world. That's kind of a fairy tale story. So who knows where this thing came from, but it sure is insidious.
Yes, well, again, it's I don't know if we'll ever find out. There's talk that it escaped from a lab and that it was being... Actually, you know, it's interesting. I was listening to my Senator Ted Cruz last night on his podcast, and he said that... that it's now been admitted that our money was going into this lab in Wuhan to look into this particular virus, and you know whether it escaped or whatever. It was underwriting the research, and I hadn't known that. And so this is just something that he said one of our big, I don't think it was CDC, but one of our big health organizations revealed that we were a part of that. So, you know, I guess it came back to bite us in a bad way.
I don't know who's minding the store over there in Washington, but it's kind of bizarre that China has overtaken the world as far as manufacturing. And they can't pay for their own research. Like, why are we giving them money to do research in their laboratories? It's insane.
I think I understand, because we didn't want to take the risk it would escape from our lab. So, hey, it can hurt us. Gavin, it looked into way over there, you know, in a small place like Wuhan where, there, you know, nobody of any importance lives. I see the idea there. So, you know, but it sure did come back to bite us. And, you know, there's some things we probably shouldn't be messing with. And, you know, but mankind does that anyway. But, you know, we're paying the price for that, but, you know, the whole world. But you know what? I can see some good coming out of it, because I think that, well, for one thing, the pollution is sure down. I was looking at pictures of before and after pictures of New Delhi in India, and I'm going, wow, you know, they couldn't even see the landscape, but now they can. And so I think this is also, so many people are now working remote, working from home, and maybe the employers are discovering, hey, we don't have to have all that office space, overhead.
Exactly.
If we can get the same work done from home, and then that will make perhaps less congestion on the highways with, you know, maybe a certain percentage of the people being able to work from home. I know, you know, my kids or my daughters all have been working from home through this, and they're quite happy with it. So, but you know, the sad thing is with those who are in the service industries and the travel industry.
Bro. I know.
They're hurting. That's
bad.
Awful.
Yeah, it's bad. I don't know. That's going to take a while to come back, because most people are going to be very reluctant to get on airplanes. How do you social distance on airplanes? They're like sardines, they pack them in, probably are going to have to tear out seats. And if they want business, they're going to have to accommodate people. But and hotels, people are going to be afraid, I guess, of hotel rooms. And they're rightly so, because this virus is just so ridiculous. You don't know where it is. Oh, it lives on cardboard. So if you get a package, you don't know if the thing is living on the box. And then it's living on plastic. So when you bring stuff home from this grocery store, please. But this is a sign of the times. It's just such a sign of the times. And we weren't ready for it. I don't think any of us were really ready for it. We read the Bible and we say we believe the Bible. But, man, when it comes and smacks you in the face with reality, here's a little dose of reality for you, boom, and you're like, wow.
And we have to be spiritually prepared for anything, and you know, because I don't think it's going to necessarily, I don't think the spirit of Antichrist is going to stop pushing for setting his agenda up so that he can unveil his man of sin in the not so distant future, it looks like, because he has pretty much controlled all elements of society just to make people ready for such a man with all the answers. And so it's really, I think all of it plays in together just as a setup for the spirit of Antichrist. And so in other words, it's not going to stop here. This is just the beginning.
Yeah, this is like the dress rehearsal of what's to come. So, yeah, we have to be spiritually ready. So the thing that's been going through my mind, especially the last few days, is to warn the body of Christ to get out of those wicked churches. Get out of those places. And don't watch these television programs where they have these false prophets and these false teachers misleading you, because you won't be able to stand in this day if you don't get yourself right with God and to get into the Word of God and to find out what the Bible says for yourself. Because who knows when people are going to start going back into these buildings en masse. I don't know if they ever will, really. And so the whole landscape of the church and the so-called church is going to change. But this is a time when you see people and some of these so-called preachers of the gospel, well, they know people are hurting. People are desperate right now. They haven't been working for a month or 2 months, some people, and they're still asking for seed faith offerings, that you have to give God $1,000 and you have to give him $500 and you have to do all those things. These people are wicked. They're gangsters. They're criminals. And so stay away from these people. Save your money for your family, and take care of what you need to take care of right now. So, and get away from these con artists. But that's the thing. There's this big separation happening between the false gospel and the real gospel. And these people, these Antichrist people, they don't play nice.
Well, no, because they'll take advantage of the situation and use the fear to get people to, you know, to give them more money. I saw that Jim Baker just lost his ability to use credit cards for his to make any purchases, because he had a guest on that said he had the cure for, you know, this elixir, I guess, that was supposed to be a cure for the coronavirus. And so the bank or whatever took away his ability to receive credit card money coming in. And so now he's put an announcement out asking everybody to send him checks.
Yeah. Well, it's the same thing with Rodney Howard Brown. He of course, look, we have to stand up for our First Amendment rights. Yes. But when they ask you not to congregate And they asked you in a nice way, don't have over 10 people in your building for now. They're not taking away your rights forever. So you say, okay, look, people, we have First Amendment rights, and we can file a lawsuit later, but for now, don't come to the building. We'll have online church. But instead, no, he's got to have people in his building. And so he lost his church insurance. You think his insurance company was going to cover him when people started smacking lawsuits on him if they did get sick at his church? No, they dropped him. So now he doesn't have any insurance, unless he gets Lloyd's of London or something like that now.
Well, it's going to cost him more. And I don't know how that man got insurance anyway. When he's shoving people over and slamming them on the ground and all of that kind of stuff, how can he, what's his defense? Is his insurance supposed to pay that when somebody falls on top of you because he slays them supposedly in the spirit and they fall on top of you and break your hip?
Yeah, well, I don't know how he got the insurance. Maybe they didn't know. I guess nobody really knew how nutty he was until he put himself out there to try to make a name for himself nationally and also internationally, that he was standing up for First Amendment rights. Okay, yeah, we know we have First Amendment rights, but now he has to. Now he says that he's not going to open up his church because he has to protect his people from the tyrannical government. And that the sheriff's department is responsible now for providing security for him and his people. But he's not going to open up until he feels like his people are safe. Now, they weren't safe from him in the beginning.
And they won't be when they get back in either. That's the pathetic thing. But, you know, again, it all plays into, you know, the spirit of the age discrediting Christianity. And it's the evil workers, the false brethren within the church that are discrediting Christ the most, because, you know, onlookers look at it and say, wow, you know, if that's what Jesus teaches, then, you know, he's just interested in my money. I mean, that's the impression people get. And then the other thing is, of course, the younger generation and everything isn't really watching him or usually, or even the ones that don't go to church, but they are angry because they don't want to lose their so-called rights, you know, to, you know, have gay marriage and abortions. And they don't want any limitations put on their freedom to sin and to, you know, to just run amok, because they don't like laws. Isn't there a passage about the end times that it would be a time of lawlessness?
Yeah.
And so that's what we're seeing now, because any laws are considered oppression.
Yeah.
And so I think even people like Rodney Howard Brown are falling into that trap. Oh, you know, you're oppressing me by, you know, trying to ask me to go along with your laws and your regulations. And, you know, we're supposed to be a country of laws. And in fact, that's what our president has talked about, is not allowing everybody to flaunt the laws. And yet, you know, the leftists want to open our borders to not only, you know, people who want to live off the dole, but also to people who are bringing in all sorts of diseases and everything else. And it's odd that now our country, you know, with its open borders, bringing all those people in, now we're the ones that have the most cases of this virus.
Yeah.
And now the other countries are closing the door to us.
Yeah.
It's just ironic.
Yeah, it's ironic. It really is. Well, they're not going to learn, because really there's more of them than there are of us at this point. So,
yeah.
Yeah. There's definitely more of them. And I thought it was so interesting. Of course, the topic today is we're going to talk about the Aquarian conspiracy and the Seven Mountain Mandate. But Jackie had sent me this video, and I didn't know this. I was very alarmed by this one fact on the video that I didn't know, but the founder of CBS Television Network, William Paley, now his job, one of his jobs before he founded this network, I mean, talk about mind control and brainwashing. He was the director of psychological warfare for the Eisenhower administration. And then he's the head of a television network. So talk about mind control and manipulation. Very interesting fact.
Yeah, well, and the Aquarian conspiracy, if people want to know what that is, it was really a book written by Marilyn Ferguson, forward by John Nesbitt. But anyway, it was written, what, back in 1980. And a lot of people pointing out the dangers of the New Age would show this as the, I'm trying to look at the date. Yeah, it is 1980. As the Bible for the NEA, the National Education Association. And when I had a confrontation, I had a confrontation with a teacher back, in fact, that was back in 1985 or 86, and it was, it's on my, it, the show I was on talking about it is actually on my YouTube channel. And it was when I went on the Joy in the Morning program on TBN way back when, and talked about what I saw there with the teachers bringing in meditative practices and stuff into the schools and teaching the students how to use biofeedback shortcuts and things like that to get them into a altered state of consciousness. And I don't think I brought up Aquarian conspiracy at that time, but when we went to confront the teachers about it, that book was on the shelf. And from what I have heard, this book was on many shelves all over the place. And, you know, the whole concept of the Aquarian conspiracy, I can read the definition of it in chapter one, because it's really 1980. So how many years ago is that? That was what, 40 years ago.
Yeah. That's a long time.
And everything that that they were pushing in the NEA to try to indoctrinate the children in the public school classrooms, they succeeded in doing. But I'll just read the first couple of paragraphs in the chapter one. The conspiracy, a leaderless but powerful network, is working to bring about radical change in the United States. Its members have broken with certain key elements of Western thought, and they may even have broken continuity with history. This network is the Aquarian conspiracy. It is a conspiracy without a political doctrine, without a manifesto, with conspirators who seek power only to and whose strategies are pragmatic, even scientific, but whose perspectives sound so mystical that they hesitate to discuss it. Activists asking questions, challenging the establishment from within, broader than reform, deeper than revolution, this benign conspiracy for a new human agenda has triggered the most rapid cultural realignment in history. The great shuddering, irrevocable shift overtaking us is not a new political, religious, or philosophical system. It is a new mind, the ascendance of a startling worldview that gathers into its framework breakthrough science and insights from earliest recorded thought. Okay. And so when they get into earliest recorded thought, that's when what they're referring to with ancient mysticism. And truly, this Aquarian conspiracy is a conspiracy of the god of this age. As a matter of fact, it's really defined in the introduction. I put a note here, putting god of this world. In the introduction by Nesbitt, he says, "Perhaps I wrote the indefinable force is an idea whose time has come, and it is robust enough now to be named. Yet how could one characterize this groundswell? The reader's response to the editorial and the request from many other journals for permission to reprint it confirm that many were sensing and seeing the same forces." And so he lists some of the people that were ones that through the years have pushed this movement. And of course he names Pierre Teilhard de Chardin, who urged this new conspiracy of love. And what it is, the conspiracy is really a collusion where people are seeing that they need to let go of the old way of thinking and have a paradigm shift for this mystical worldview, and one in which it's a humanism, the idea that mankind is evolving and they can keep pushing forward in evolving by having a tolerance for every idea that there is, and pretty much that there is no black and white, there's no right and wrong, and it's it's all the yin yang, it's all Eastern thought. And so and we've talked about how you mentioned the Seven Mountain Mandate, and that is because in their Seven Mountain Mandate, they want to change everybody's thinking by just having so many people using the same buzzwords, the same ideas that come from these mystical sources. And, and they point to what they call the transcendentalists. And the transcendentalists are those who are the enlightened ones and who can bring these ideas, these mystical ideas, forth, even if it's like an underhanded way. And so it says, here's one thing it says on page 122 about the transcendentalists. The transcendentalists supposedly threatened the older order with their new ideas, but the ideas were not new, only the prospect of applying them in a society. The eclectic transcendentalists had drawn not only from Quaker and Puritan traditions, but also from German and Greek philosophers and Eastern religions. Although they were charged with having contempt for history, they replied that humankind could be liberated from history. They challenged the assumptions of the day in every realm: religion, philosophy, science, economy, the arts, education, and politics. And so this is all the areas in which their change agents, as this book refers to them, where the change agents can go in there and just introduce these Eastern ideas and get rid of the old in order to bring in the new. And that's why the term New Age was even formed. And yeah, of course, the New Age is the same as idea, sort of, as it's an idea that there's some time of peace that's coming upon the planet, and it's the New Age that we're all looking forward to.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because I really didn't know anything about Marilyn Ferguson. I never read her book, or I remember back before I got saved, there was a big push to know about Jesus, but of course it wasn't the Jesus of the Bible, it was the Aquarian Gospels that they were pushing at that time. And then they were pushing Jesus as a prophet, but they didn't talk about him as being the Savior. And so I didn't really know that much about her, but then looking, there's not too many videos about her that out there. There was a couple of things, but she's pretty soft-spoken, unassuming person. I thought she would be different than what she was because of this book.
Yeah, but she's talking about when these people speak of Christ, they have new definitions to old words. It's not Jesus Christ of the Bible, but it's Christ consciousness.
Yeah.
You know, that we can all be Christed, and all of us are saviors, all of us are Christs, and as long as we have the Christ consciousness. And again, this is a mystical idea from, again, Chardin and some of the so-called Western mystics who learned, like Thomas Merton, they learned things from the Hindu monks and the Buddhist monks. And then it's so this is where the religion part of the Seven Mountain Mandate and the seven, she didn't call it the Seven Mountain Mandate in here, but she mentioned seven areas of society in which they want to influence. So, so they want to influence society that way. But then the emergent church guys and the New Apostolic Reformation people like Lance Wallnau, who wrote the Seven Mountain Mandate in conjunction with, I believe it was C. Peter Wagner, who coined that term, they're reading these books and they're going, okay, well, we're going to do it and we're going to take over. But all of them want to rule the world. There really are many elements that want to be at the top. They're all seeing there's going to be this global realignment, and this, they're not, these conspirators are not necessarily working with each other, because each area and element wants to be the ones with the most influence and the one at the top, you know, yeah. Starting with the Pope and then all the way down to, you know, dictators and everybody else. Remember that old song, everybody wants to rule the world. And yet they don't know that they're all puppets. There are, you know, the spirit of Antichrist has them all set up on his chessboard, and the game has started, and he is moving them, even though they're moved by their own selfish ambition and their own agendas. He's the one in control. He's the God of this world.
Yeah, that's a great analogy. But I'm just going to play this clip because while we're talking about this, but I want to get back to it. But here's an interview that Ferguson did, I guess it was in the 1980s, but I want you to notice this terminology here.
Through all of your work, of a real sense of urgency, that we are coming up on a very, very serious shift, and we've got to make a decision to transform or to decay. In a way, I feel that sense. A lot of that is being expressed now in what we call the New Age movement. There's been even heightened awareness lately in the media about it. A lot of people accredit you with starting the New Age movement, which I know is something you reluctantly acknowledge. How would you characterize the New Age movement? Or
I wouldn't really acknowledge it. I thought you were going to say that I try to get out of. Well, the movement, the so-called New Age movement, has been going for quite a long time, the part of it that is generally referred to as New Age. But going back a little further, if you go to the founding fathers of the United States, they were mystics, and it was actually a line from Virgil that has been translated by one of the historians, "A New Age Now Begins." It is on the back of the dollar bill, Nova Ordo Seclorum. And the a new order of the ages. And there's always been this kind of hope that there is going to be a new time, a new beginning. I think every person has the hope in his or her lifetime that that might happen. So the idea of New Age is pretty old. What's kind of new is the possibility that a whole society could actually start talking about that possibility. So in a way, I guess you could say that was the New Age. Now, the problem with the term New Age is it's kind of elitist. And the first time I heard somebody say it, which was about 1971, it was in a very, you know, us and them way. They were New Age and they were Old Age. I like to think of it more as now. You know, if it's happening, it's now. And that I think one of the problems is if you call it New Age, it's always out there and not here.
The B-H.
Something like that. Well, I do think that we have to proclaim the time. There is some line of Thoreau's, that day whose dawning is not going to come to pass just because so many days have come to pass, that there are certain things have to be done before a new day can dawn, was what Thoreau was saying.
I thought one of the interesting points that they bring out at first is the shift. And you hear that so much, especially with these NAR people and the prosperity preachers. A lot of them talk about that, the shift.
Oh, yeah, they do.
What are you talking
they use
about?
The same term. Yeah, they use the same terminology. Yeah. And that's where it had entered into the church. And there were writers back in the early 80s like Dave Hunt and Constance Cumby that warned about this and were scoffed at by the church, by the establishment of the church. They weren't taken seriously when they were saying this stuff is entering into the church. And so now it's the mainstream in the church.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, you know, because now they've got their, you know, you can turn on somebody like Patricia King and Heidi Baker, and some of them are saying, oh, wow, we get this, you know, we can download these things from God, and you can too.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
you see, so it's already gone full New Age within the Pentecostal charismatic side of the church, where, you know, where they're trying to confuse the gifts of the Spirit with paranormal activity, you know, and some even boasting that they can levitate and all kinds of things.
Yeah.
That has come into
yeah.
the church. And now nobody's really talking about it anymore, because now it's in the mainstream. They can get into altered states of consciousness. Now you can have holy yoga in the church, okay, which is a popular thing even among, you know, some people we know
yeah.
that will even teach their children to get in the lotus position. And, you know, the next thing you know, they'll be floating around the room.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because they're big on going up to heaven, going down to hell, and going into being translated from this location to that location. You hear this on so-called Christian television, and it's so bizarre, the whole thing. And you people that are in the know say to yourself, well, what is going on? Like, this is ridiculous. And there's still, I had listened to on Sundays, I like to church hop and see who's saying what and who's doing what. And so I tuned into Joel Osteen on Sunday to hear. I never really listened to a full sermon of his, I have to be honest. I don't pay much attention to him. But anyway, he gets on there, and I hear this a lot too, where these preachers are telling people, you're going to be a history maker and a world shaker. And he was saying that. So apparently it probably came from him. I don't know where he got that from.
They get those ideas from each other, and none of them have any original ideas. They didn't even come up with it. Certainly didn't come up with it from reading the Bible. They came up with it by reading the occultists. And then
yes.
you've got someone like James Gull, who is like almost like a sidekick of Patricia King, and they're big on God TV. Okay, well,
yeah.
he was giving tours in Arizona, in Sedona, Arizona. He was giving portal tours, like the vortexes and the portals to heaven. There's certain portals. There's seven portals on the earth there where Jacob saw the ladder come down from heaven is one of those portals, and now you got a big one in Sedona. And of course, that's where all the New Agers get in there.
Yeah, Sedona, yeah.
yeah, they're all having all of these vortex tours, and he's got the portal tours.
Oh, what's a portal?
It's a door to heaven, and there's only seven of them around the planet, according to
oh,
James
yeah,
Cole.
Sure. Where did he get that from? Like, that's ridiculous. God is
again,
everywhere.
I know. Again,
to be in a portal.
Yeah, no. This is just how the whole thing has merged. And again, people warned about it back in the 80s, and they were set aside even by the establishment, even by so-called apologetics ministries, razz them. That's just what happened. And now it's become the norm, and it's okay. And it's so prevalent that you can't even hold it back anymore. At least back then, you know, we could put some pressure to bear, but now our voices are drowned out now.
Yeah. As far as, of course, we're not on television, and that's where you get your largest audience, is if you happen to get on a television network, but they're not, certainly not going to put us on any of these stations. But, I thought another interesting thing that I did, because I remember that I met a couple of people back in the 80s when I was heavy into the Word of Faith, and I met someone, Melissa Lindsay McLean, I think her name was, and she wrote a book on the New Age and the church. And I went to hear her speak, and yeah, I mean, I was buying it to an extent, but, you know, she was saying stuff about Kenneth Hagin and Kenneth Copeland, and those were my favorite people at the time. So, but I was watching Charles Capp's daughter, Annette. And, of course, some people might not remember Charles Capps, but he was a big Word of Faith preacher, and he did conferences with Kenneth Copeland and Kenneth Hagin. Anyway, he's passed away now. So his daughter, Annette, took over his ministry. And I had mentioned a couple of times to the people about Kenneth Hagin saying that he died three times and he went to hell, but he got to come back the third time and get born again. And Charles Capps' daughter, it came right out of her mouth. She was talking to her mother, and she said, "Yeah, and Mom, you know, Brother Hagin, his testimony was that he died three times, and he went to hell, and he came back and got saved." It came right out of her mouth, and I'm saying to myself, "You don't even know what you're saying."
Yeah, well, but you see, this is where people have turned their ears aside from hearing the truth and have turned to myths. Turned to mythology. And so this is all okay, because again, the Aquarian conspiracy of the transcendentalists will say, well, you let everybody have their truth, and eventually the new truth will overtake the old truth. There'll be that shift. There'll be the paradigm shift in which the old way of thinking will no longer be popular. And when those people who still hold on to those things all die off, then we as a people will make the next evolutionary leap, and will be so advanced and be a global community.
Yeah.
That, you know, the whole goal. And we're the enemy, those who believe in the Bible, because that's, as Tommy Tenney called the Bible, it's a dusty old love letters.
Oh, dear. I thought to myself, well, I used to love that book by Kenneth Hagin, his visions of Jesus coming to visit him, and that book that he wrote about, I Went to Hell. And I used to read those things, but I never really thought about what I was believing until later on, when I've been out of the Word of Faith movement since 1997. But just like Annette Capps, I thought, well, he died and went to hell. And then the Bible doesn't teach that. You can't point it on the man once to die and then the judgment. You don't go to hell and get to come back and get saved.
No. Well, again, this is the success of the Aquarian conspiracy.
Yeah.
Seven regions. They have succeeded in infiltrating the churches. That's one of those. I know we also were looking at how they've infiltrated Hollywood and the media.
Yeah.
and what is being filtered into everybody's brains who sit there in front of the TV set and are totally brainwashed. And it really is truly, the strings are being pulled there by the same God of this age that Marilyn was, you know, boasting of.
Yeah. I'm going to play that clip that about the, takeover. It. I wonder, though, Jackie, now with this virus, I wonder if Hollywood's going to clean up their act a little bit, because I don't know if people are going to be so glad to go to work. Now, there are people that are married to other people. They get up in the morning, they go to work over to the studio, and then they jump into bed with somebody else's husband or wife, and then they're kissing somebody else's husband or wife, and they get paid for it. But I don't know if they're still going to want to do all that with this virus lurking out there. So Hollywood might have to clean up their act a little bit.
Or test everybody before the shooting starts.
Anyway, let me I'm going to play this. Let me find this clip here from the, I think I have this here. I think this is it.
As I did my research, I began to understand there's a very small group of people that influence all the companies that we watch. So they used to call them the Big Six. But Disney just bought Fox, and Disney controls Marvel, and Disney owns Lucas Studios. So look at that giant audience right here. say a small group of people control the narratives and the content that we all see on all the channels, it makes you feel like, oh, I have lots of choices. But you don't. Who's telling them what to put on those channels? Where does that lead?
Tonight, the FBI is on the case, and they are warning big companies in America to protect their data.
This document right here is a FOIA document. Anybody in America, anybody can request this. Freedom of Information Act. And in the 40s, they were telling you they controlled the radio stations. They controlled most of the mainstream media. They're telling you right here that motion pictures are used as psychological warfare. Why would they stop doing it?
It's like a mass MKUltra now. Their purpose is to capture the minds of the people and feed them false history. The CIA is funneling information into Hollywood. Hollywood is putting out in the movies, and the population believes.
All right, so look, here's the deal. They have been desensitizing us since we were born, and I'll give you some examples. Let's start with the big one. Let's start with words we hear all the time and never even think about. Let's start with the word entertainment. To entertain. What does that mean? To bind or hold. To bind or hold what? An audience's attention. Okay, now let's take the word Hollywood. Where does that come from? Well, Hollywood comes from the holly tree. And the ancient druids, back in the day, used to take the holly tree, make wands to weave spells, cast spells, or channel spells. And when they needed help, they would consult the magi or the mediums of the day to help channel their spells to the population. We'll cut to today. What do we have in our houses? We have these black boxes. What are they called? TVs. But if you stop and you say the word tel-a-vision, television. And when you turn on that television, what do you get? What's the first thing that pops up? A list of channels. And when you turn on those channels, what's on those channels? Programming. They are programming you. They've been programming your whole life. You don't even know it. They do it with your music. They do it with your TV. They do it with your movies. They do it with your games. They have been programming us and programming you since you were little, and you don't even know it because you don't even question.
Well, Omar, one of the interesting points there was, and I didn't know this, that Disney bought Fox.
Oh, yes, I had heard that. And in fact, you see a lot of these bigger companies swallowing up, you know, the smaller ones. And so it's all the power is in very few hands. And of course, this book is called Out of Shadows, and it's the two stuntmen telling what they've seen in Hollywood and the evils, you know, the whole evil stuff that you see with the spirit cooking and some of these things that have come into politics has, you remember with the whole Hillary Clinton and Podesta and all of that during the campaign of 2016, some of these things came out. Pizzagate is what it was called. And so those things expose these underhanded people, but it turns out those people that were involved in these occult, evil, satanic practices were also the ones who were, you know, molesting children and everything at Epstein's Island. So I really recommend people looking that up on YouTube. It's called Out of Shadows, and it's really gone viral this week, and I think it should because it's really showing that these influences that have come in politics, especially on the left, as we all found out and kind of forgot about with when, you know, Epstein, you know, was busted for what he was doing with kidnapping children and all that kind of stuff and using them for on his island with all these rich people in implicating people like, you know, the Clintons and also Prince, which
Andrew.
Prince Andrew. Yes, Andrew. So these things go really deep. And these are the ones who are controlling these seven areas. And in music, you know, how he goes into some of that. And the symbolism that you're seeing in all of these things all goes back to Druidism, and then beyond that back to Babylonian religions and the Egyptian religions, and you know, the whole all-seeing eye at the top of the pyramid and the secret societies. And so the devil and the spirit of Antichrist has infiltrated all those areas, and that is what's popular. And for these new apostolic people to try to say, oh, they're going to to win them all over to the Christian world hierarchy. they're not the popular ones, no, because the shift has been made and it's not in their favor.
No, like you said, the shift has been made and it's not in their favor because, of course, now this, be warned though, this documentary is very, very graphic, and it's got some language that we might not approve of, but there was a few things, of course, that I learned from this documentary, of course, about William Paley of CBS being how do you go from being the head of psychological warfare under Eisenhower? Now, people, it's in his obituary. You can read his obituary on the internet. So it's not a conspiracy theory. It's a fact. He was the head of psychological warfare for Eisenhower. And then he has a television network. So, of course, they're going to slant the news in their favor, or they're going to tell you what to think. If he's already had training in psychological warfare, then they're going to use it. So another thing about the documentary that was very interesting was the Pizzagate thing, which the news media swept under the rug, but they managed to save some of the Instagram posts from the man that owned this Comet Ping Pong Pizza, which I'm sure his Instagram account doesn't have these pictures on it anymore, but the pictures are horrible. And so I don't know what kind of investigation they did. Apparently they weren't interested in looking at the pictures on his Instagram account, which kind of tells the story about what was going on over there. And also the introduction of this woman, Maria Abramovich, who came to light through the Podesta emails that WikiLeaks dripped out, drip, 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 as they say. And they were holding these spirit cooking sessions. There's also pictures of children in compromising positions that Mr. Podesta has in his house. So how do you can't deny these, you can't deny the evidence was presented. And then, Jackie, tell the people about what happened with Microsoft recently and this Abramovich lady that's a witch.
Well, let me see if I can. The Microsoft thing, well, you know, I watched that video with her, and I can't remember all the details on it. But the bigger problem that I was pointing out about Microsoft is this thing called the ID 2020 Alliance, the Universal Digital Identification. I shared this article. I did share that other one with that spirit cooking lady. I think I did. No, I think someone else shared it, and I put a like on it or something, that they're exposing, the involvement really with Microsoft and things like, things like the use of psychedelics and stuff like that in the technology, the IT technology. And yeah. So now they've and see, all of that fits in because LSD and psychedelics are like supposedly shortcuts into the occult, into going to the astral planes or whatever. These things have been connected with technology such as Microsoft, all of their technology. So now they've come out with this new thing. Let me see. Let's See, Microsoft's goal, I'm reading from this article, and it says Microsoft's goal is to help establish universal and scalable standards for these decentralized digital identities using blockchain technology. In a blockchain, information exists as a shared database that is consistently reconciled. So blockchain is where they're getting data from everybody who's tracking you on your smartphone, what you buy at the store, everything, and it's all going to be put together into one big database, this ID 2020, in which everybody is going to have to participate in it. And, you know, either with a digital chip, it's talking about a chip or a tattoo or something, but that everybody on the whole planet would be given a number as an ID number, and all the information is going to go into that, including whether you either have an immunity to the coronavirus or have been vaccinated once they get that into place. And it says in this article that as more and more transactions become digital in nature and are built around a single global identification standard supported by Microsoft, the question of who will govern this evolving global community and economy becomes relevant, especially since non-participants in this system would be unable to buy or sell goods or services. Now, we're not talking about people who know about the mark of the beast, but, you know, Bill Gates is now the one who's insisting that the whole planet needs to be vaccinated once they get this vaccine through, and that's where he is investing his money and all that kind of stuff. So, Microsoft has some big ideas, and this is, again, you know, I know people are kind of tired about all of the so-called conspiracy theories surrounding Bill Gates, but most of that stuff just comes out of his mouth. And any of this association he might have with some of these spirit cooking people and all of this, I'm not sure I can validate all of that. But it just, again, it's just another one of those areas. Now, when I read about this latest thing with this use of LSD becoming a common practice within the high tech community. What are they calling it?
Microdosing.
Yes, microdosing. It's supposed to open up the person's creativity. It says this is an article from Forbes, and it's called LSD Microdosing, the New Job Enhancer in Silicon Valley and Beyond, ? And it says microdosing refers to taking a much smaller dose, about 10 to 15 micrograms of LSD, and is thought to confer a much weaker effect on your body, just enough of the amount to produce mild euphoria, energy lift, or added insight without allowing you to feel like you're tripping. And so now this has become popular. My daughter, who works in the tech industry, sent me this whole discussion on Reddit with all these tech people talking about how they are wanting to do this microdosing. And the odd thing is, you know, I guess everything just comes around again, you know, because back in 1980, when Marilyn Ferguson wrote The Aquarian Conspiracy, she has this discussion, or not discussion, she writes about LSD being the way to introduce people into the universal mind. On page 375, she speaks of the occultist Huxley. She says, Huxley believes that the long-predicted religious revival in the United States would start with drugs, not evangelists. From being an activity concerned mainly with symbols, religion will be transformed into an activity concerned mainly with experience and intuition, an everyday mysticism, ? And she goes on to say, he said that he himself had been electrified by understanding fully under the influence of mescaline, the radical meaning of the phrase, God is love. One of the Aquarian conspirators said, ? After many years in intellectual left-brain pursuit of reality, I learned from LSD about alternative realities, and suddenly all Bibles made sense, unquote. Others have said that they seem to experience the nature of matter, the unity of all things, life as a splendid game we are playing, a story we are telling. And it goes on and on, talking about all these different professors who say that psychedelics seem to facilitate access to the holographic domain. And, you know, in all of these sessions is mind over matter and the universal mind. So that's where the messing with LSD will take you. And now it's come back into popularity in the tech field.
Yeah, that's shocking. I'm going to play this clip here, and then we'll talk more about it.
I give the CIA a total credit for sponsoring and initiating the entire consciousness movement, counterculture events of the 1960s.
History will judge the role of the CIA and other intelligence agencies in unwittingly contributing to the counterculture of the 60s through their intense interest in LSD and other hallucinogenics. But for the moment at least, the argument can be made that the CIA helped usher in the age of Aquarius.
Now, of course, Jackie and I were both children of the 60s. We were teenagers. So we grew up in that era. And remember, Jackie, Timothy Leary, of course, was a big promoter of LSD. He was a Harvard professor. And it was like tune in and drop out or whatever. But it was said that he was a CIA agent.
Right, yeah, from that film. The same that still came from out of Shadows, and that was Timothy Leary's voice that started that out. Right, that he was involved in it. It had been used as one when the CIA was in the government was experimenting on people, and he was I believe one of the chemists that was helping with that project with experimenting on people with LSD to see if they could use it for mind control or even for military purposes. And so then he's the one that then took that and brought it into the, you know, in the San Francisco and into the whole hippie environment. Everybody started tripping on that, but that's where he got it. He got it from being involved in that, those government experiments.
Yeah. And had mentioned the connection, of course, the connection of Bill Gates and Microsoft with this Maria Abramovich, who is a New Age. She's a witch, really. She doesn't claim not to be. And Microsoft made a commercial recently featuring her with snakes in her mouth, and it was quite disgusting. They had featured her in one of their commercials. Now, there was such an outcry against it, and you can probably do a search on the internet and see it for yourself. Oh, it was disgusting. Anyway, supposedly they've removed the commercial, but this is what these people are into. Also, Timothy Leary was a fan of Aleister Crowley, the Satanist, and he said in one of his interviews that he was going to continue his work. So, couple again, and with this reemergence of people using LSD, mind-altering drugs, you didn't hear about this so much because it kind of went away.
Yeah, well, but it's now, you know, being seen as a not something necessarily to get high on, but to take small doses enough to open up your creativity and help you to, you know, come up with ideas. I mean, there's always been this, I don't know, maybe unproven idea that some of the biggest technologies that have happened have come through people channeling disembodied spirits or whatever, and who gave them, you know, formulas and stuff for some of our technology that we have now. One of the big ones was IBM and the Xerox machine and things like that that was given to them by these spirits, and they were able to make it that, you know, there's all these kinds of things. Now, I know that all of our today's modern technology is certainly helping set the stage for the Antichrist, because he is going to be going after those who aren't going to be part of the system, and he's going to be chopping off their heads. So he's going to have a way of seeing everybody. So that technology, if these things were inspired by his little spirits or whispering in people's ears who were going in these directions over the years, people like Bill Gates, for instance, or even Steve Jobs or whoever, you know, we all use this technology today, but could all be Antichrist technology just getting us prepared to accept that there's going to be some guy coming with superpowers and then he's going to use it against the planet or a way to rule the planet. So, I mean, that's really, you know, that might be seeming like such a crazy conspiracy theory, but at the same time, it sure works in his favor.
Well, I mean, we're not promoting conspiracy theories. We're promoting reality. They are talking about this. This is not just something that we're hearing, rumors. These words are coming right out of their mouth. So where they're going to, never mind them spying on you in your home through your television's listening to you, your Alexa is sending them your voice recordings or whatever. And so they're tracking you every way coming and going. And then they're going to come chasing after you with a hypodermic needle. That's the next.
you mentioned Alexa. I was with some friends a few weeks back, and this friend of mine was trying to call a friend or something, somebody who works for him, and he was telling Alexa while he was driving, says, "Call so and so," and Alexa says, repeats another name, and it wasn't the name he said. Because I guess he didn't have it in there under that name. And he got mad and he raised his voice, "Alexa, call us." And she goes, and I couldn't believe it. I wish I had this on tape, but Alexa responded, "I'm doing the best I can." I cracked up.
I know, it's like, well, Twilight Zone.
Really,
for sure. I don't know. It's spooky out there, but eventually they will take over the internet, and we'll probably be gone. They're already taking people off the internet that they don't like. They don't like what you're saying. Now they're censoring you. If they don't like something, they'll take it off. And so who knows how much longer we have to have these kind of freedoms. Because you can kind of see, especially this week, and you hear the news media. So, And they're always trying to bombard you with this disinformation. And for any of our would-be sleuths out there and would-be investigative journalists, don't take anything for face value. You have to go and research things. You might hear on the news media typically, so-and-so said this, and this is what they said. And so then you run with that headline and you say, oh, yeah, they said it, because they take a sound bite. And they just give you a soundbite that's taken out of context, and that's how they brainwash you. So a good investigative journalist will dig into what was said and go over videos and audios, and then you can say, well, they did say this. We try to be very careful about what we put out on the air, that we've done the research to make sure that we're not telling you something that is a wild theory or, you know, somebody, this one said this or this one said that. We have to be able to prove what we're saying, that it's factual, before we put it out there. So that's good advice for anybody. Just be careful. because they're putting out so much disinformation, just like they did with this virus, that it was a bat from a meat market. And yeah, the bat from the meat market infected one person, and then the one person infected the whole world. Well, it's like, please stop it already.
And where they're taking it is really where they want to become gods. It's that same idea in the garden that they will be godlike. We're going to be like gods, you know. So you've got the EU putting up their the unfinished Tower of Babel, and all of these sorts of things. And these are the and the Aquarian conspiracy really explains their theology. Now, as far as and here's the other thing. They see all of they see the writing on the wall that these are the end of days, and oddly enough. And but you see, it's almost like the spirit of Antichrist is saying, yeah, that's going to be his last try, and he doesn't believe that it ends well for God, that the Antichrist. I mean, you would think he's read Revelation and he knows he loses. But there's this towards the end of the Aquarian conspiracy. I want to read this paragraph because I think this says it all as far as the these ideas that the devil has put into people's heads, the progressives' heads. It's the section is called The Vision, Light and the Coming of Light. Contemporary mystical experiences from many individuals in many parts of the world has centered in recent years on a collective and intensifying vision, the sense of an impending transition in the human story, an evolution of consciousness as significant as any step in the long chain of our biological evolution. The consensual vision, whatever its variations, sees this transformation of consciousness as the moment anticipated by older prophecies in all the traditions of direct knowing, the death of one world and the birth of a new, an apocalypse, the end of days, period in the Kabbalah, the awakening of increasing numbers of human beings to their godlike potential. This quote, I don't know who he's quoting, I see who he's quoting. Quoting Meister Eckhart. Meister Eckhart says, "The seed of God is in us. Pear seeds grow into pear trees, nut seeds into nut trees, and God seed into God." Unquote. Meister Eckhart. Now, where have we heard that before?
Yeah.
You know,
that word. Yeah, little gods.
Yes, absolutely. We're little gods. God, you know, I know Earl Polk was one who famously said that, you know, and Kenneth Copeland, I believe, has said that.
Yeah,
well,
Kenneth Copeland said it, yeah.
Yeah, so what if we're children of God, what does he produce? Gods.
Yeah.
But that's,
well, the thing is, with what's going on today, I think it's kind of a wake-up call for a lot of people. It's like, I don't have any control over this. My little kingdom is falling apart, and I can't control it. So God's kind of smacking them down a little bit. Like, look, I'm God, and I'm in control of this thing. I don't care what kind of little kingdom you set up for yourself. I don't care what king, what country you're a king of, or what country you're a president of, or whatever. I am the Lord God Almighty. And that is the way it is.
That's right. He is, and you're not.
That's right. And I think for a lot of people, what they spend years building their little kingdoms on earth here. And to see it in a matter of weeks just kind of crumbling before their very eyes, everything that they've built out of sinking sand. So it's a very, very eye-opening experience for many, many people. And they keep thinking, well, we're going to come out of this. I think we'll come out of it to a point. But I don't think it's ever going to go back to the way it was. Because
no.
The people are always going to have a little bit of fear. Which, when you can't see a virus, you can't see a plague, you don't know where it is, you don't know who has it, you don't know where it's lurking, and so things just aren't ever going to be the same. We just have to be ready for anything and stand strong. It's every day, it's a new challenge for us. And when you kind of, you look back and you kind of yearn for the way life was at one time, and you realize that it's not that way anymore. And all of our lives have changed drastically. So, but we know that our help comes from the Lord. Who else can we turn to? I don't know how people are doing it without God. I just don't know how they can make it at all.
Nope. This is a time we need to just stay in Christ and stay in the Word every day, because these deceptions are becoming the norm, and people that we've even gone to church with and that we'll watch online, if they compromise with lies and falsehoods, then that means they have not the love of the truth, and that they will be given over to believe the lie. And the lie is all being set up.
Yeah, well, that's what's happening, because you could see the other night on Daystar Television, which is run by false teacher, false preacher Marcus and Joni Lamb, they had on a panel. And in the panel was John Hagee, Paula White, Jensen Franklin, Robert Jeffers, and Sammy Rodriguez. So there's all of them. And so they've all compromised with each other, knowing that some of them had to know that they were sharing the platform with total apostates. But yet, you know, I want FaceTime on television, so it's more important. That's more important than taking a stand and saying, no, I'm not going to appear. I will see you on my YouTube channel or something, but I'm not going to appear and get into bed with these false prophets and false teachers. But it's like you said, Jackie, they don't want to take a stand, and we have to.
Right.
So do you have any remarks in closing here?
Well, I know we didn't get time to really go over, because it's a kind of a big topic in and of itself to go over this. I've been looking at how the TV series Star Trek, it started out with Star Trek, Next Generation, Voyager, and Beyond, how that has worked to destroy the belief in a supernatural and to give us a worldview of being one planet, and then we're going to be in the Federation of Planet, and then they have all these bright ideas for the future. And I'm writing an article about it, so it's okay if we didn't go through it all, but I'm showing in this article episodes of how that programming is really programming people, you know. So that I'll be sharing on my Facebook page. If people want to find me on Facebook, just look my name up, Jackie Almore. Also, you could look at ChristianSentinel.com, and that's where I will be putting that article, but also we'll share it on Facebook. But that's kind of what I've been researching all week, ever since really I saw this thing with out of shadows, because I thought, well, some of the examples that they used of how the evil spirits and everybody are controlling our programming, I think they didn't use as, you know, they used 007 as an example and things like that. I didn't think that was anything as clear as what we've seen in the Star Trek series and in Star Wars film. And so I hope people can, you know, look that up when I'll post it on Facebook. And I think we just have to watch everything with our eyes open, TV, movies, see everything through the prism of the truth of the Word of God, and
yeah,
see which side that film or movie or TV, which side it lands on, and what is it that the shadow government and shadow religion could be promoting in these things.
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing, is try not to be overtaken by these things. I don't know that much about Star Trek. I never watched one episode of it. So, but that might be a good program, is to focus on the Star Wars and the Star Trek aspect. That could be another whole program, really, because that's a lot of information. And there's probably
sure
many of the listeners that don't know, like you're saying, how that was a preparation. Those programs were done with something else in mind, apparently.
Sure was. And again, it goes back to Roddenberry, the producer that invented Star Trek. Seriously, he's got those same bad connections we've just been talking about. But it'll be in my article.
Okay. So don't forget Jackie's newspaper, the Christian Sentinel, ChristianSentinel.com. For great reading. If you need something terrific to read, Jackie is a trained journalist, and she's an excellent writer, and she does her research. Thank God for people that do research, because we desperately need these ministries today, that people are willing to spend the time to research things for you and to help us, because we need all the help we can get right now. All of us, we need all the help we could get. So, and Jackie's on Facebook. Where else? I mean, if they want to find you, anywhere else?
Well, ChristianSentinel.com, like you said, and also RaptureReadyRadio.com.
Yeah.
A lot of people, when they hear Rapture Ready Radio, they'll look up RaptureReady.com, and Rapture Ready Radio was a spinoff with one of the ones involved, and then he later turned it over to me. So I don't have a direct connection with Rapture Ready anymore. So some people make the confusion because they were kind of linked in the beginning and kind of went kind of different ways since.
Yeah. All right. So it's Rapture Ready Radio. And then Jackie's also on Facebook. She has a public page, and you can catch her over there. She's always posting interesting articles. She spends her time researching, so she's always coming up with some interesting piece of information. And I learned so much from watching that video. And like I said, there's some shocking things in there, so be prepared if you watch it. There's some photographs that are a little bit shocking, and there's some language too that is not exactly Christian language, so beware. But as far as some of the facts that came out of the documentary, I was really shocked by some of the things, and how a lot of things are kind of swept under the rug, and they're not talked about, and then they tell you. I thought one interesting thing was when Chris Cuomo told the people, Chris Cuomo from CNN, he told the people that they couldn't read the WikiLeaks emails, that it was up to them to tell you what they said.
Jeez.
I mean, that's kind of like what in the Catholic Church, don't read the Bible because you won't be able to understand it. Ask us what it says.
Wow.
Yeah, that really was amazing when he said that. Don't read, it's illegal to read the WikiLeaks emails from John Podesta, so let us read them for you and let us tell you what they say. Oh, okay, yeah, sure. But that's about it. That's about it. When you look at the news today, you have to take it with a grain of salt, and remember, do your investigating. Don't just take anything anybody says and run with it and say this is gospel, because for the most part, it's fake news. And if you have the head of a television network that was at one time the head of psychological warfare. Yikes. That to me was a total shock. I couldn't believe I was reading that. I couldn't believe it. All right, Jackie, great program today. Thank you so much for all the wonderful information. and for coming on with us. I know everybody enjoys it when you come on. We always have a good response. So God bless you.
But I look
you.
Forward to the next time.
I do too. I really do. I enjoy it myself. I always learn something new. And I love to learn. So it always blesses me. And God bless you.
God bless you.
We'll be talking soon. Okay, everybody, that's our program for today. So don't forget, now the most important thing is, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? And in the days that we're living in, he's a good person to know. And Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father. Remember, Jesus Christ came to earth. He was born of a virgin. He died on the cross. He rose from the dead. And he ascended into heaven in a body. And he's alive. He's a real person. And he is the only person that can give you peace. He's the only person that can give you joy. He's the only person that can save you from the coming calamity that the earth is facing. This is just a preview of what's to come on the earth. But there's one thing that's for sure is salvation and being born again of the Spirit of God. The third chapter of John said, Jesus said, you must be born again. First you're born of your mother, and then you must be born again of the Spirit of God. And Romans 10:10 says, confession is made with the mouth unto salvation. We must confess Jesus Christ as Lord and confess our sins. And he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. No matter what you've done in your life, no matter what sin, God will forgive you and give you a brand new life. And he'll give you hope and peace and joy that you can't get. And you probably, some of you, you're not getting it at all right now because you're in despair. But turn your life over to Jesus. He loves you, and he will be there for you. He'll help you get through this. And he made a promise that you can have eternal life and that you'll have a home in heaven after you leave this earth. You won't have to wonder about where you're going to go when it's all over. So God bless everyone today. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in all around the world, all our listeners in England and Canada and Australia and Singapore and France, Germany, all the different countries of the world that have tuned in. And if you need to contact me, you can contact me at Susan@propheticnews.com. And that's my email address if you need to contact me. So God bless you. Thanks for tuning in.